Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more.
Hosted by Duchess. Guess what day it is? Is it February 17th? I think somebody has a birthday on February 17th. Well, a lot of people got birthdays on February 17th. But there's only one person, that's me. I have a birthday on February 17th. And I've been having a wonderful day today. How about you? Is your birthday February 17th? Well, if your birthday is not February 17th, let me share some of my February 17th birthday fun with you. I've been sitting here looking at Facebook and reading all of these birthday howdy doodies to me, and I've been touched by a lot of them. But one I've been touched by, a big lot, was one that was sent to me by my number one son, February 2014. That was 5 years ago. I want to share it with you because I believe this is the one that I through the years, he writes these wonderful messages. Well, let me share this one with you. Duchess is possibly the strongest, most inspiring, and incomparable visionary I know. She's also my hero. She doesn't leap tall buildings or stop bullets or wear a cape. She's cried, bled, and bruised. Her superpower is listening and loving and moving mountains for the disadvantaged, the sick, and the old. Even if and when her own troubles are compounded, she's taught me to only use my powers for good. To cook, sew, braid hair, tune up a car, change diapers, change attire, write a proposal and a grant, maintain a household, and as a businesswoman, community advocate, and founder of the 20-plus year Trailblazing Waheed Cooperative Enterprises Incorporated, she taught me that teamwork makes the dream work. And moreover, there are scruples in business. As a man, there was no father. There were no uncles or older brothers that shaped me as a Skywalker. There was only Duchess. In fact, I don't know any men in my life who match her mentally, intellectually, or spiritually. My life shines bright because of my hero, because of my mother. Everyone, please join me and wishing my mother a very happy birthday. Hashtag proud son. That was so beautiful. And he had a collage of pictures, you know, of me back then. And so I reposted that memory on my Facebook wall this morning because it made my heart sing. So that's what I'm doing today. Celebrating my birthday with all of you out there in Blog Talk Radio land. And I have a mishmash hodgepodge of lots of things that I want to talk about. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Yada, 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 yada. Ha, 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 ha. So it's my birthday. So what happens for my birthday? I think about retiring from my job. So, you know, I've been weepy-eyed over retiring from my job because what am I going to do when I retire from my job? But since I handle lots and lots of packages standing on a concrete floor, It's freezing there. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it was 7 degrees outside. So I know it must have been 0 degrees or minus 0 degrees inside. And I'm telling you, in that warehouse, I wasn't going to make it. I wasn't about to do it. So I've been getting a little teary-eyed about this retirement thing. And as I go through the process of getting things in place for my retirement, paying my final taxes and getting my Medicare in place and making sure that I get a prescription refilled for brand new glasses, because Medicare does not believe senior citizens qualify to have glasses. Medicare does not feel that senior citizens qualify to get fillings in their teeth to maintain whatever little bit of teeth they still have. So I'm taking care of all of those things. And I have to share this with you. I filed my taxes, always filed my taxes on my birthday, right after my birthday, just before my birthday in February, because that's when they start setting up these places, okay? I have learned a long time ago that what I do is I don't claim any exemptions because I don't want to pay the Internal Revenue any money. So they can have all the money they want out of my paycheck, and they can give it back to me when I file my taxes, okay? How about this year? This year, not only did the government tax my Social Security income, but I owe Donald Trump $649. I work part-time. I don't even work full-time. I was on disability for 6 months out of last year. But check it out. Unbelievable. You know, so while I'm going through all of these changes and these ups and downs, I'm realizing that America doesn't respect senior citizens at all. They don't much care. I don't know about other countries because I don't delve into other countries' business. But I do know that America does not. They do not like their senior citizens. And I'm learning that quick flash. So if I'm going through all of that and I'm a young senior, what about the senior seniors? You know? So I think that's what I'm going to do when I retire. I'm going to see if I can be of service to the senior citizens that are older than me, you know. That's if I don't find other things that are really fascinating me. Before we get into topic, I got a lot of stuff to share with you. That's why this show is February Picks, a little this and a little that. All right, let's talk about let me share this with you. I'm having some issues with this guy at my job. He's the manager of my whole entire operation in the evening. Now, he used to be a driver, and he and I used to sit in the office, and we would chit-chat while I was doing my work, and he was doing his work on the other computer. Then he became a driver supervisor where he stood out waiting for his drivers to come into the building. And we would chit-chat out there while I was doing my packages, and we were laughing. And when I went out on disability, he would tease me and say, well, when are you coming back? When is my clerk coming back? Because I really need my – I mean, he was just one friend. Now he's the manager of the operation. Now he's the manager of our whole operation at night. Talk about an attitude change. He doesn't speak to anybody. He's rude. He's hostile. I mean, he has no compassion. He has no empathy. And I'm just like, what is wrong with this man? Well, the other day I asked for a computer for the tech people to bring a program down to one of the offices, because the office that I worked in upstairs, they took the computer out of there. That was the only place that had an application for me to do the work that I do. Now, what I do is I sit at a computer because it's too cold for me in the warehouse, and I process my packages in the office so that when the clerks come in that do what I do outside in the warehouse, all they have to do is scan the package when the driver brings it in, and I've already corrected the package, and the label comes out. Well, the tech support people wanted to know, why did I need a computer program in the office? So they went to him and asked. And he told them, in so many words, she doesn't need that application. She doesn't need to be sitting down in the office in there. She can get out there on the floor and do the work on the floor like the rest of them. He didn't bother to ask me why I needed this. He didn't ask me about my back and my knees and my feet since I've been back to work. That floor, my body is rejecting it. He didn't ask any of those questions. He just told them she could go out there and she could just work like the rest of them. Okay? So I was saying to my 13-year-old granddaughter today, after I told her a little bit about the story, I said, sweetie, you know, there are three types of people. There are managers, there are leaders, and there are people who find some midway point in order to operate and get along with people that they're in charge of. So I told her, managers do things right. They usually do it by the book. They don't have no emotion, no compassion, no empathy for the people that they are in charge of. But then there are your leaders. Leaders do the right thing. Now, they have a book that they're following, but they know that sometimes with compassion and empathy, there are some things that you just have to, like, you know, do them slightly of a different on a case-by-case basis, you know, without other people feeling like you're making favorites. And so I said, and then there are people in the middle who kind of balance this leadership with doing things right and doing things the right way. You know, I mean, there's a balance. So I said, do you understand? And she said, yeah, I sort of understand, Grandma, a little bit, you know. Yeah, you know, so I'm talking big grown-up talk to a 13-year-old. So it just so happened that after I dropped her off at her house, I happened to have to go by the restaurant that her father is the general manager of. Okay, so he's the GM. He hires, he fires people. I mean, he orders, you know, what the restaurant needs. He's on top of stuff at that restaurant, especially in the absence of the owner. So he's general manager. He hires and he fires, you know. And so when I sat outside, I called him. He answered. He said, I can't talk right now. And so I had to go to the bathroom. I was supposed to wait for him to drop something off outside. But I stepped inside, I went to the bathroom, and as I'm coming out of the bathroom, I see my son behind the counter working with his crew. Now, you know, that's a leader, and that's a leader that has found a balance between being a manager and a leader. He goes down to his restaurant where he's the general manager. He sees what's going on in there. He has no problem taking off his tie, mind you, leaving it in the office and putting on an apron and getting in the kitchen and helping his crew when they need him to help them. Now, I love my son. It's my baby son, you know. He has a balance about him that is truly phenomenal and can be appreciated. So with that, I'm saying hi to my son, the balanced manager leader or leader manager. He is truly blessed. Okay? Now, speaking of blessings, let's talk about this spiritual encounter that I had the other day. There was, first let's back up. A couple of years ago, a dear friend of mine passed away, a young woman, and she started giving me these little, I don't know, just like I just felt her presence, you know, there. And sometimes I felt her presence there more than I needed to or wanted to feel, and I'd have to say, you know what, I ain't in the mood for this today. You need to just leave me, don't do that. So I'm sitting there watching TV one day, and I just feel, you know how you just see something move out the corner of your eye, your peripheral vision? I'm sitting there watching TV in my living room, and I just see this, not anything really there, but I just sense this. And I said, okay, all right, Terry, I'm really not in the mood. Don't even try me, you know? Stop it. And I focus back on the TV set. Well, the next thing I see on my TV set is this interviewer interviewing this man about some kind of project this man is doing. And there's a caption below them with the man's name, and the man's last name is Connolly. Well, that was Terry's name. So I bust out laughing. So you're just going to make me know that you're present, you know? So I found that very interesting. So these kinds of little things happened during the week that she was doing, you know, she was doing her transitioning or getting, or she had actually transitioned. And I would wake up with thoughts in my head, and I would call her husband, and I would tell him the thoughts that I was having. And one of the things was that she didn't want anybody going through her stuff. I said, she doesn't want anybody going through her stuff, you know, her sisters, her, she doesn't want that, her private stuff, because she had journals and journals and journals and journals and journals and lots of journals, and I had told her I was going to help her publish a book. Well, fast forward to the current day. Now, she's been going, I'd say, about 3 years. I went to go do my taxes, and I take my taxes and have them done at one of the senior centers in my county. And this is the first time I ever go into this particular senior center. So I'm sitting there doing my taxes, and I realize I'm in their library, and their library is not a big, huge library, but it's big enough. It's got two sides of the room full of books from the floor, arm's length up, you know, so you can reach the book because it's senior citizens. And there's books behind me on the bookcase and books along the right side of me, and there's books. So while a lady is doing my taxes, I get this memory. Wow, I was living with Terry when she had all of these books in her house, and she donated these books to this particular senior center, you know? And I put her and the founder of this center, because this woman, the center was being named after her mother, and I put Terry and the woman together, and so Terry donated all these books, hundreds of books, to this center. So I'm sitting there getting my taxes done, and I'm getting this, I don't know, you know, you just feel a presence. It's not like something spooky or boogie. You know, it's just you just get a feeling. And I reached over, and I pulled out of hundreds of books, I pulled the book off the shelf, opened it up, and it said a label, generously donated to Carver Senior Center by Terry Connolly. And I bust out laughing, and I said, I knew it. So the tax preparer turned around, looked at me, and said, you knew what? You know? Well, I told her the story. Reached over for another book, and the next three books were generously donated by Terry Connolly. So I come home, and I get Terry's writings, because that's what her husband gave me. All of her journals are packed in boxes in my office, and there was a book that she was in the process of putting together that she wanted me to help her publish. And I decided to go through some of her transcripts, some of her, you know, the manuscript pieces of her book. And I think I'm going to publish her book. And I need someone to help me. So I contacted a friend to see if she would help me compile it, because my friend, she was a very dark, fascinating person. And there's no way in the world I want to get into her writings and go into that darkness by myself, because it's going to be a fascinating trip pulling this together when I can. So there's a project, a couple of them, on the retirement side. part two of my mother's memoirs, my own memoirs, Terry's book, and the adventure. Everybody heard of Fabio. You know about Fabio. Fabio for years has been telling me she wants me to help her with some grants because she has this project she wants to do in Africa. So that's out there on the horizon, helping her pull together a grant proposal to do a project, you know, in Africa. So I got him, yeah, right, Fabio. Oh, and you'll be able to go with me to Africa? And I'm like, yeah, right, Fabio, I'm going to go to Africa. Yeah, okay. Because I've never visioned myself going to Africa, you know, but yeah, right, Fabio. So I'm sleeping Thursday, 5:30 in the morning. I get this text message. Good morning. Greetings from Ghana. Fabio is in Ghana, okay? And she's setting up some kind of project stuff, and she can't wait to get back here to talk to me about it. And so I want everybody in Radio Land, especially those of you listening along the eastern seaboard, New York, Rhode Island, you know, up along that way. Number one, I'm going to be in New York on 24th. Number two, Fabio will be returning from Ghana on the 28th. You know, Fabio got to go up to upstate New York to check on her goats and her chickens and turkeys and stuff. But Fabio has indicated that before I leave New York City, she's coming down to my mother's house, and she's looking forward to meeting my mother. Because she wants to talk to me about this project she wants to design and develop in Ghana. Isn't that exciting? Oh, my gosh. So I have a lot of good things happening around the retirement scene. One of the things that I do know I need to do is get my weight, get a handle on that, because without those movements at UPS and the boxes and the exercise, I could be borderline type 2 diabetic. And it didn't make me very happy when my granddaughter got on my scale, the 13-year-old got on my scale while she was here, and she indicated, Grandma, I don't understand your scale. It's saying that I weigh a whole lot less than I weighed at my doctor's office last week. Now, you know, that bothered me because I've been jumping on that scale. That scale's been telling me that I've been maintaining a steady whatever it was saying I was maintaining, although I've been walking around feeling heavier. Well, darned if the scale didn't need a new battery in it. So now I'm scared to get on the scale, now that I put a new battery in it. But going to have to do it. Going to have to do it. Let's get the topic. That's enough of this and that. Let's do some topic. So the first thing we want to talk about are the solar flares that have been bombarding on the face of this earth. Okay, so there's been a solar storm, and it was hurtling itself 22 million miles across space towards Earth. Okay, and it was likely to make contact with Earth this past week. So we had to be aware of sleep pattern disruption, anger management issues, aches and pains, and nausea. I can hardly get out of a chair and walk this past week. I was scared that I was beginning to need a wheelchair. Now that's how horribly stiff that I've been. So it went on to explain that many of us feel the physical symptoms, and we feel these symptoms several days before the solar events, and you should be drinking lots of water, and you need to do some breath work. You know, that deep breathing stuff? Meditation is good, too. And the best meditation for me is focused breath meditation. It grounds you. Now, the storm was caused by some enormous solar flare, which is a massive explosion of plasma and magnetic fields on the sun's surface. The solar storms can cause fluctuation in our power grid and cause damage to satellites orbiting the Earth. And they can cause the magnetite of our brains to overload energetically. Okay? Now, there was a NASA study that said that the solar storms can affect the natural compasses of marine animals, but they can even be responsible for increasing a number of those beached animals that you see on TV once in a while. You know, they just there. You wonder, how did they get there? They just navigated off course. But what they neglect to say is that we are animals too. So a lot of this stuff can affect us as well. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been feeling mentally, I don't know, off center. I'll be talking to someone and I'll be explaining to them about something that we talked about over and over and over again, and I'm watching the expression on their face because it's not clicking. It's like they don't know what the heck I'm talking about. And then they'll look at me and say, "Do you mean Baltimore?" And I say, "Yeah, that's what I just said." And they'll say, "No, you didn't say Baltimore. You said Boston." I didn't hear myself say Boston. I heard myself say Baltimore. Now, the funny thing is, I was talking to my mother on the telephone the other morning. I was telling her about my throat, and I was having this problem with my throat. It's so funny, but it wasn't funny when it happened. She said, "You know, if you go to the drugstore and get yourself some Listerine and gargle with Listerine, you know, in the morning, that'll clear that stuff up for you." And I said, "What? I don't do that. Why would I gargle with something like that?" And she said, "What are you talking about?" Well, she said, "Gargle with Listerine." My brain heard, "Gargle with Mr. Clean." Now, that's really wild. And I hope this doesn't continue to happen, because I have to drive my vehicle. And sometimes I get in my car and it's like things are just not focused right. And I hope it has to do with the solar flares, and it doesn't have to do with any of these supplemental vitamins things that I've been taking lately to try and balance the pain, you know, get myself together for this trip to New York. Well, anyway, we'll see. Huh. What else is going on in my world? Yeah, I've been feeling like, because of the leave from the job and stuff, I've been feeling depressed. And so I wanted to talk to people about depression. Now, I have a therapist, and I've been going to her for a very long time. And I just happened to pop in to visit her because I'm thinking, I'm sitting around, I'm really depressed. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I'm depressed. You know, a whole lot of stuff going on. And so I'm sitting there and I'm telling her, you know, like, and this is what's happening and the other is happening. And she said, "You're not depressed. You're grieving. You are grieving the loss or the impending loss of the life that you are living right now. Not going down there every night to see your family, because that's my family. Like I said earlier, I don't have any immediate family here next to me. The closest family is like 45 minutes away, and he works, and he has children. You know, he can't be like right around the corner from me." I was telling her how I just leave, you know, because I don't want to take all these bags of garbage. So I got these garbage bags right in front of my door to remind me, you got to take these bags of garbage to the dumpster when you go downstairs. But then when I'm going out the door, it's like, I don't want to be bothered with this. And she said, That's probably your way of reminding yourself that you don't have anybody to help you. So you need to stop that. Because I have one of my drivers, I was telling them about it, and he said, I live in the building right across the way from you. Didn't I tell you call me if you need something? You better call me. Do you need me this weekend? And I said, no, my granddaughter will be there with me this weekend. She'll help me get the bag. And that's what she did. Nevaeh carried bags down for me. I said, make me feel like y'all think I just wait, collect trash, waiting for y'all to stop by so y'all can take bags down for me. But there are people who have serious depression. Now, I do know that depression isolates, and I am an isolator, although I have been told that I don't isolate, I insulate, because it's too people-y out there for me, and those people out there doing the same old stuff, only some of them are getting uglier, you know, and I'd rather just insulate. But depression isolates. The depressed person tends to be more internally focused. And what they are hearing from themselves is a highly negative tune that does not motivate them to relate to others. They may hear thoughts like, people don't care. No one will put up with me or really wants to help. Or, if I tell you what I'm thinking, you'll reject me. Or think that I am crazy. Okay? A person who is depressed needs as much support as someone suffering from any other serious illness, such as cancer. Yet depression often makes people isolate themselves. It can cause their personality. It can change their personality, and it can sap their energy and can make them resistant to assistance. There was this doctor, she's a licensed clinical psychologist, and she discussed why even the most well-meaning offers of support sometimes go awry and gave advice on how to help a loved one who is depressed. This doctor has been a therapist for more than 25 years and is the chief clinical officer at the Family Institute of Northwestern University, where she oversees 170 therapists and teaches marriage and family therapy at the Center for Applied Psychological and Family Studies. That's the Institute's research partnership with the university. Okay, so her name is Dr. Bergioni. So she was asked certain questions about this depression thing. And one of the things she was asked was, how can you tell if someone is depressed? Well, she said, the usual symptoms include a change in sleeping pattern and appetite, feeling sad or less expressive, an inability to concentrate, irritability, easily angered, or tearful, no longer taking pleasure in things that were formerly pleasant, social isolation, negative or irrational thoughts. Typically, you will see decay in communication, both in frequency and quality, as the person turns inward. There may be deterioration in the person's self-care and follow-through in responsibilities, as well as an amplified sensitivity to conflict. Her advice was, if you observe these things for longer than a week or two, you can ask. I don't want to be intrusive here, but are you okay? You do not seem like yourself, and I just wanted to check in. Okay? So, sometimes it's impossible to help, okay? Because like she said, or like I said earlier, you know, this depression isolates. And because depression is also a total mind-body experience that makes it hard to concentrate or access energy or motivation to do simple tasks like bathe or be present during a conversation, the depression itself struggles to participate. The depressed person struggles to participate socially. A client once asked, should I show up in a sweatshirt, sweatpants, and dirty hair and hope I can focus, or should I not show up because I can't shower, dress, and get myself there? So she was asked, is it possible for you to make a difference? And she said, of course you can make a difference. And how does one do that? How about starting by accepting that depression is a real illness? People do not snap out of it. And any suggestion that they should is shaming and reinforces the feeling of being misunderstood, alone, and invalidated. So this breaks down trust in a relationship. Next, you got to let go of making it your responsibility for them and get, you know, for them to get better. You know, I had this one lady I used to call on occasion. We used to walk together. But this woman, every time I called her, she was depressed. It was like sometimes when people are depressed, you just don't know what to do, so you just stop calling. You know, but then I have this other friend that she seems depressed all the time when I call her also. And I just said, well, I just called to wish you happy birthday and let you know that I'm here if you need anything. And then get off the phone and let them know that you're there if they need you. You know, at least it lets them know that you're okay with them. But then there are some people you have to just let them go because there's just being there for them doesn't even help them, you know, because not even I have found that somewhere balance with people, you know, because there is a way to be there for someone without putting pressure on them. There's a way to provide your presence, your acceptance, and your distraction. Friends and family members can play an important role in that, but do not help when they make it their mission to fix the depressed person, because we can't fix them, you know? They do need professional help. The person does not want their family members to suffer or to need to perform for them. Family members cannot help but be impacted. But finding a balance between care for self and care for others is especially important in the relationship with a person who is depressed. So you ask, are there things people do that are not helpful? Huh? People sometimes say things casually that are meant to be reassuring but ring hollow. You know, things like, it's going to be okay. Girl, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. How about, I'll call you tomorrow, but then you don't because you know they're depressed and you're going to have to hear all that sad stuff. So if you say I'm going to call you tomorrow, then you need to call tomorrow and say just checking in, see how you're doing. See if you want to go somewhere. Most people mean for these reassurances to be genuine. Most people. But there's a difference between a glib, it's going to be okay, as a way to wave the depressed person off and genuinely communicating that it will be okay because you will be there for them while they are going through it. That's the kind of it will be okay they need to hear. Other things that are not helpful include telling the person to just snap out of it. not understanding that depression is an illness and treating it casually. Having the same expectations for your loved one that you would have if they weren't depressed. Not educating yourself about depression. Also not helpful is letting the person ruminate. Research shows that social interactions that are overly focused on discussing the depressed person's problems or negative thoughts may be counterproductive. This can be a little bit tricky, especially if you're looking for a balance to strike. Compassionate listening is helpful, but co-rumination is not. The difference is when you are really listening, the conversation moves forward. When there is no forward momentum, when it's the same thing over and over, it's time to change the channel. And you can do that respectfully. You can say something like, I know that this is driving you crazy, and I'm here for you, but this is very helpful to go over and over and over again. So what is helpful? You can ask your loved one. Not everyone needs the same kind of support. So you ask them. Ask your loved one what is helpful. Some people value encouragement. Others experience it as pressure. Some people value instrumental support, a favor such as picking up milk. Others find that patronizing. There is a way to be there for someone without putting pressure on them and without joining them in their focus on the negative thoughts. Provide your presence, your acceptance, and distraction. Set a low pressure agenda. How about let's go to a movie? How about let's hang out and watch an amusing TV show? You can cook together. Talk about your own life a bit. Ask about a topic that interests them. Respect when they have had enough. So, depressed people often resist getting professional help. How can you encourage them to go? Oh, that's a big one. You can offer to help them find a therapist or encourage them to see their primary doctor. Now, I have seen people, especially some, you know, a person here or there on Facebook say something about, I don't know, maybe I should go to a therapist and talk to one. And I might just say, you know, I've been going to one for years. They're just wonderful people to run things by when you need somebody to talk to and in an objective way. You know, so you encourage them. You know, sometimes you just have to throw yourself in there. Yeah, girl, you know what? When I was feeling like that, I went to a therapist, and you would be surprised how just talking to somebody and getting that stuff out of your head, really laying it out on the table with someone that you don't know, someone that's, you know, it helps. And if that one doesn't help, find you another one. There are a whole lot of, and they all have different ways of dealing with stuff. So, like I said, you can offer to help them find a therapist or encourage them to see their primary doctor. But harping on them is not helpful. They may feel ashamed with needing help, particularly men. They may need some time to come to terms with the fact that they can't fix it on their own. If you have had an experience that you think they might relate to, you can offer it up. Depression. Can it be hard on relationships, especially couples? There are a lot of you couples out there. Sure, because the depressed person is unavailable. They're not centered into the relationship. They may be withdrawing from contact, not contributing to the household, not participating in things to enjoy together. As a result, one of a number of things can happen. The person who is not depressed can become angry or hurt, or they may try to take over and become a superhero in an effort to be helpful. So many dynamics can set in motion that then the relationship needs help, not just the depressed person. The best way to address this is with a couple's therapist. You know, a lot of people don't think they need that. But a therapist is as a professional can help the couple work within the limits that the depression presents while helping them stay connected and well-functioning. So you ask, should you leave your loved one alone if he or she pushes you away? Well, the doctor says don't do it for too long. You know, you got to respect the person with depression. You got to respect that they have limited capacity for engagement, so they may have less to give. You talk about this and establish an understanding. For instance, and I respect that you want to be alone, but I don't want us to make the mistake of having you be alone too long. Then go back to introducing the low-pressure agenda. Would you like to go to the movies tonight? Get out of the house, get some fresh air. How about a nice walk under the stars? Something, you know. Excuse me. If you suspect that someone is suicidal, this doctor says you need to ask them. You will not give them the idea. She says that she has never heard from anyone who suffers with depression that they mind the question when it is asked directly and with care. When you suffer with depression, hearing that your life matters enough to someone for them to ask, "Are you safe?" is the most meaningful thing that you can do. So, that's on depression, and let's look at what Lena has to say before we close out. Lena is saying that this is the best time frame for initiating and activating something. Okay, everyone who's new, you need to know that Lena is... she does the Power Path. She does the energy report every month from the Power Path website. Her name is Lena Stevens. And we like doing the energy report. So back to what Lena was saying is that this is the best time frame for initiating, activating something new that has to do with what you have a passion for. Even if it is just a plan for now. What you plan will be empowered. Be careful what you ask for. Alongside the plan come boundaries and new rules for yourself and for others. You need to be grounded and practical when you set up your structure. But at the same time, leaving room for creativity to bring in something unexpected. Remember that intentions fueled by emotion and passion are more powerful than any idea that comes from the intellect. It was water time. So take your ideas and see if they have an emotional charge to them or not. Work with the ones that do. For the ones that don't, ask yourself why. Who are they? A good idea for you or someone else. Now, on the 19th, we're going to have a full moon. And we have a full moon update. This full moon activates our intuition and emotional side at the same time as inviting us to take more responsibility for the organization of the details connected with our intentions. Creativity and inspiration are key words for this full moon, and we need to give our imagination some room to play and dream. We can put off the organization of details as we remind ourselves that life is not all seriousness and growth. There needs to be time for the inner child to express through creativity without any attachment to a specific goal. It's just like throwing your inner child in the sandbox and say, go ahead and make some sandcastles or whatever else you want to make in that little sandbox. You have free reign because mommy is stepping off to the side and just watching you from afar. So, the needs for expansion, adventure, and expression are alive and well and should be acknowledged as allies during this time. Any resistance you have to a little chaos should be let go on an exhale. Take a break. Do something fun. Give your creativity an outlet and share your gratitude and inspiration with others. With that said, it is also good to make a plan for organizing the details and giving some structure to what comes from imagination, inspiration, and creativity. So, that's Lena Stevens' Full Moon Report. And for the last week of this month, 22nd to the 28th, there is a lot of energy available during that time. It may be challenging to sort through priorities, especially when so much is activated and there is creativity, enthusiasm, excitement, impatience, irritation, confusion, and chaos. You may need to carve out some alone time to reflect on what is important to you so that you can get clarity about these priorities. There is also a need during this time to take a break, take a breath, and see what is manifesting easily and what is not. This is a time of adjustment based on choices and decisions that come from what is being activated. Some of the adjustments may be coming from others that have made choices and set new rules that may affect you. Don't feel victimized. Stay neutral and see every situation as an opportunity for your own change and evolution. You don't always have to see or know how and when. Just trust. I like Lena. She is so heavy. She is so heavy. You know, and don't get all bent out of shape over things. You know, sometimes we have to decide if we want to be right or we just want to have peace. Sometimes having peace is so much greater than being right. I was going into the supermarket yesterday with my granddaughter, and we had two women, you know. One was backing out from one parking space, as another one was backing out from an opposite parking space, and they met their tails in the middle, and nobody wanted to move. Both of them wanted to say to themselves that they were backing out first, so somebody else needed to pull in so they could back out and go and leave. And we watched this, and I told my granddaughter, I said, just like some of these little children, here's two grown women playing chicken. Who's going to give in first? And you know, they sat there until the person in the parking space in front of their backing out car pulled out. Then they were able to drive off driving forward. But they were going to stay there forever. Don't let that happen to you. You know, don't play that, you know, I'm not moving until you move. You know, somebody's got to move. And I will give you my right of way just so that I can have peace with my day. Okay? I just made a rhyme. So happy birthday to me and everybody else that's born in February. And, yes, I do get out of the house. I make it a point to get out of the house. So I agree with my therapist that I'm grieving. I'm not depressed. I'm grieving a life that I've had for the last 19, 20 years. And I'm having to say goodbye to it. And I'm having to say goodbye to it because of physical reasons, not because I'm tired of doing what I do. But I was told a long time ago that this was going to be challenging for my body as my body got older. And so my body is saying, cut it out. And it started saying that as soon as I went back after being gone for 6 months with my shoulder surgery. I went back the first week I was there. My body said, I know you got to be kidding. What are we doing back here? So there you go. And with that, this is Duchess saying good night, and I'm saying thank you for being here with me. And you know, we've been here since 2014. It's 5 years. It's a long time. We've got all of those shows archived from way back when I was doing this with Jewels, Duchess and Jewels, Duchess and Lahura, Duchess and Fabio. There's some archived shows on there that you may want to go back and listen to. Because Jewels was a ticket, boy. She had you laughing. You take care. Stay blessed. And New York, I'll see you soon. How about next Sunday? Love you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.